Today's dedicated to the girl child for many reasons. And one of them would be to look at how society over the years has treated the girl child, opportunities that has been deprived her in many ways, and steps the government at various levels have taken to ensure that the girl child is at par with the male counterpart. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. This morning, 11th of October, beautiful Tuesday, is dedicated, and the world is marking Day of the Girl Child. And there's a lot of conversations that we'll be having around this particular topic. Meanwhile, remember that we are live on Facebook and on Twitter. We're live on Facebook and on Twitter. Simple, Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and Nigeria Info PH on Twitter. That is the handle for both of those social media platforms. All you need to do is get on there live, watch, listen, and make your contributions. We have a question up for you already. What are the things you think society, in what ways can society contribute? In what ways can society contribute in protecting the girl child? Loads of steps have been taken by government, and we'll be looking at those steps and other things that needs to be done if we're to ensure that the girl child is safe. My guest this morning is Professor Ihioma Nserimwolu. She is the Director, Center for Gender and Development, University of Port Harcourt. Prof, good morning. You are welcome.
Good morning, Nigerian.
And, well, first of all, I think we'll just start with the question that's already out there: in what ways society can contribute in protecting the right of the girl child, before we get onto other things that perhaps the government and individuals also have done and should be doing. What should society look at today that we're looking at the girl child? There are lots of obstacles and hindrances affecting the girl child and preventing her from achieving a full potential. How can society help?
Well, the girl child is a member of the society, and then society is made up of both males and females. Unfortunately, in this part of the world, and the majority of the world, women and girls are not given opportunity, are not in the decision-making arena. And that is how and why it seems there's a kind of inequity in their relationship with their male counterpart. So what society has to do is, and I will prescribe first, it comes from the home. The home is a place where the orientation of the boy and the girl begins. And if at home, the boy and the girl, they are given equal opportunity to life or things of life, the girls will not have the tendency to be sidelined as such. They wouldn't. The opportunities will be the health, ability to express yourself, and you, if the girl grows to a certain age where she has the right to express herself, she shouldn't be intimidated or shouted at. Oh, you're a girl, you get to sit this way, you get to sit that way, you get to do this, you get to do the do's and don'ts that society had put in place. Actually, the serious issues contending with the development and expression of the girl child. So if that is eliminated from the home, it moves out into the institutions that also take care of girls. That means that if a girl goes to school, they won't say, oh, because you're a girl, you're not, you can't take up chemistry, physics, and biology or additional mathematics. Oh, these are courses for girls and these are courses for boys. It means that they will also be given opportunity in such an institution to express themselves. And if they express themselves, we'll be able to see the mental capability of either the boy and of the girl. And then we'll be able to judge who is better off or who is capable of performing such duties. But, you know, these inhibitions are there. So it moves from the home to all the institutions, which I have mentioned, the education as one of the institutions. He moves to our worship places where they say, oh, in certain religious organization, women don't go beyond certain points. What is the reason? If you ask, there's no ready answer. But the truth is that this inhibition is there. So you begin to ask, what stops a woman, or what's about her that stops her from going beyond that point? And you just know that man-made laws, okay? You also will have to realize that religion is actually the creation of a society. Man creates it. I mean, man, both male and so they tell you, oh, don't do this. If you do this, that happens. So the truth is that the inhibitions that started from the home had entered into the societies that are found in the society. And then even the government of the day, who is supposed to be making policies, regulating actions and decisions at certain points, they also play along that role, that gender.
Now that you touched on the role of the government, it's political season and we're definitely going to it's going to be a major focus for the conversation. But first, I'd want us to look at certain bills. Here in Rivers State, I think recently the government just said women should be entitled to property sharing in families, which many have applauded. Besides that, we've also had the violence against prohibitions of persons, girls and women, and also implemented. There was the female genital mutilation issue as well. All of these bills signed into law are now acts. And would you say that enough is being done to implement them, especially at the local government levels, where we have those communities where these things are still held on to strongly? Many argued that for women to share in properties in family, well, the government may have said this, but we might still have hindrances in some communities to implement them. What is your perspective to this, looking at the local government level?
Yeah, like I said earlier, the family is within the local government. Am I right? Now, the government at the state level had made such decision, but a lot of men who are in the decision-making arena, even in the communities, are kicking against them. Against it. Some are saying, oh, why should women be entitled to inherit properties in their homes of death? Now, such challenges are also, like I said, they're all man-made. The inhibitions are caused by men. Why are you resisting that women should be part of sharing of things in her home of death? But when there are projects to be carried out that involves expenses, women are also, in fact, they are taxed in their homes of birth. So you have to come and contribute. So I think that mindset is what we're actually going to be looking at. Now, if you talk about local government as a government, or as a tier of government, well, if the policy had been made at the center and the women or men in the community have not been able to take it to them, they won't be able to do much because they also look the other way.
Because my question would be, recently the government gave the order, Executive Order 21.
Yeah.
And then we saw various jingles by local government chairmen talking about how they are going to enforce this and make sure this is done.
Yeah.
But then when the government said that, oh, women are going to be part of sharing of properties or other laws that have been made by the government that regards to human rights for children, women, the girl child specifically, we haven't seen such vigor at the local level where it is most important. So what could be the reason behind that?
That's exactly what I was trying to explain. That inhibition is there. The mere fact that women are now allowed or entitled to inherit property, a lot of men are at variance with it. They don't agree. They are not happy about it. We have also encountered some of them physically, one-on-one, and they say, I'm not in support of that. So that is why no much is not being done. So what we're trying to say, if in the home, the girl is not given such opportunity, then the local government will do minimal or nothing at all. Because who is even the local government chairman? Who are they? They are also men. They are from such communities.
Okay, there's one local government where the woman is the chairman.
Yes.
And then all the others are deputies.
Yeah. We know. Does a deputy actually have a right? It's only right of delegation. It's only when the chairman delegates, okay, go and perform this duty. And this kind of duty that is going to be sensitive, in fact, is going to be hinging on rights now. I'm sure most local government chairmen will not allow women to have. So what will happen there is that if they also go there, they will have a way around it without really, making it to be forceful. In fact, it has to be obeyed. So we are saying, as an enlightenment organization, within the university were saying that this attitude that men had held onto for a long time should be changed. So, and they should deliberately purge themselves of this, because if you actually look at it, the women don't actually prevent men from having what is theirs. So, but they deliberately do things to ensure that what is due to women are denied them.
But this brings us to another conversation that we've had in public space for a long time, especially in the political arena, where many have said perhaps women aren't positioning themselves as they ought to play the politics like the men play it. For instance, we had the other time where the wife of the vice president and other women were at the House of Assembly for certain bills, about five of them that concerned women that were not passed. And it felt embarrassing because the second lady was there present with other women. And after that happened, we saw how women galvanized and started looking like, okay, perhaps we're going to see some sort of positioning ahead of the elections, which is just around the corner. But gradually, all of that faded and no more momentum, many would say. If we look at now, even the structure politically, many would say you can't count how many women that are actively involved. It's only when we're getting close to the election and then they come in groups and do what we popularly call women oye. That's the conversation. So many are saying that women ought to also, like men play the politics, not expect a handout from saying, okay, let's give them 13%, let's give them 25%. Let them compete with other men in the system and position themselves so they get the opportunity when it comes. Do you think that is a way to go? Or perhaps the idea that women are asking makes it even more like a man is in control?
Yeah, I think the best way to go is that women should come all out. But there is and there are inhibitions as well. Now, if you have to go to a place, okay, the governor made the statement, a broadcast last week, and he's asking for 5 million if you have to use a public institution for your campaign. Now, we're asking, amongst the women that are there, how many of them can? Because the economic empowerment is actually the bedrock.
But there are business women who have there are also men who can't afford it. If you've listened, many men have also come out to say no to this. But we haven't heard any woman who is a candidate or aspirant or whatever that's come out to say no to this.
Yeah, what we're trying to say is that, you see, the nature of politics that we have in the country is such that they are still being taken by hand. They are being tutored of sort. But I tell you that with this enlightenment that's ongoing now, by the time it gets to the roof and a lot of them are conscientized and sensitized, they will be able to do that. Because, you know, when they come as a group and they're able to generate that singular voice, that singular voice, you know, the societal inhibition is actually what is shrouding them. They are trying to see if they can come out from it. If they break that shroud and comes out of it, yes, I tell you, there will be a very strong force to contend with. So it's our prayer that as they hear and listen, they should learn to pull their resources together. Because that's individualism that some of them who have found themselves in the positions of financial or economic empowerment, they are still at that individual space. It's the pulling together of these forces and resources that will actually break that jinx that we're talking about. So it's our prayer. We are asking. We've been talking about it. I, as a person, I don't believe in give us this. I believe you go for it. Because my position is driven from the fact that as a little girl growing up, when we went to school, we were all in the same classroom. And taught in the same classroom by the same person. Tests were set, and some girls were far ahead of some boys. So I believe that they can do it. But I tell you, if you also ask me, how many of us moved beyond that level? You know, something somewhere will say, "Oh, you're a girl. They should be prepared for marriage. Therefore, you stay behind." Do you understand? So that inhibition is there. It is not gone. It is not gone yet. It is still there. As part of the fact, we'll say we are in 21st century. Yeah. What we are trying to say, the decision, the policy making or the public arena is actually dominated by the male folk. what they have to do is having that understanding that they are also part of the inhibitions. They should let some of these things fall off.
How about those who have the conversations that women also are the worst enemies of women? That's a popular topic. We'll get into that topic. We'll get into that topic shortly. We have a commercial coming in the next few minutes. I'm pretty sure you have questions you want to ask and contributions you want to make. Well, very simple. We are live on Facebook and on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH, so you can drop your comments and we'll be taking them as well. Send us your questions and contributions on WhatsApp 0809-030-6416. That is the WhatsApp number. I'll take it again one more time. 0809-030-6416. So that's the number. You can ask your questions so you can make your contributions. We're asking you on Facebook, what ways can society contribute in protecting the girl child? The woman you are today, you were a girl yesterday. And if women today are voicing out for something, it was because while they were girls, some people didn't do what they ought to do. And it puts us in this position at the moment. Some have argued, well, women stand against each other. Well, we'd let our guest address that when we come back from the commercial. But most importantly, there are other things that we also do that I'd like us to look at. And the fact that domestic violence, the sexual violence victim, according to some reports, the United Nations Student Education Fund noted that abuse in all its forms in the daily reality for many Nigerian children, only a fraction ever receive help. 6 out of every 10 children experience some form of violence. 1 in 4 girls and 10% of boys have been victims. It noted that Nigeria has the largest number of child brides in Africa.
Yeah.
Which is about more than 23 million girls and women married off as children. So it's a lot. And there's also the habit of people who go to the village to bring people to come and help them. So I asked this question. A woman goes to the village to take a girl to come to the house to serve her and limit that girl from doing what she ought to do. But then she wants the girl child too. So that's where people say women sometimes are hindrances to themselves. We'll find out more after the commercial. Remember, 0809-030-6416. That's the WhatsApp number. The conversation continues. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
We're back and we're live on Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Let's hear from you. Get your contributions. You can also send us WhatsApp messages on 0809-030-6416. My guest is Professor Ihioma Nsirimwolu, Director, Center for Gender Development, University of Port Harcourt. Today is a day dedicated to the girl child, and we are talking about how, especially the political season around the corner, and the movement of women in this space. Are they given the opportunities that they deserve? Are they getting the opportunities that they deserve? Or are they being limited? What can society do to see that we help the girl child get the support that she needs? Well, let us know on Facebook. We have the post up there. You can drop your comments. You can send in your contributions and questions to our WhatsApp portal. Or shortly, we'll be opening the phone lines and hearing from you. But first, let me get back to my guest in the studio. We have seen recently women's involvement, especially with the campaigns that have just started. We're seeing how women are using their voices to support candidates and make movements. But many have also said that and some of these women are antagonizing themselves and are limiting themselves from making the progress that they deserve in different fields, not just even in politics. Right. What's your thought about that saying that the worst enemy of a woman is a woman?
Well, I want to say that I don't agree with that maxim, because men are also antagonistic of each other. No, but the truth is that that is how it is painted. You know, there was a question there was a scenario you painted. When you go to the village and you pick up a little girl and you come to your home, I hope you know that that home is not just the woman that is there. There are other persons in the home, including the man. While the wife is carrying out set or perpetuating certain behavior style to that girl, what did he say? So the two groups are guilty of what we're saying. Mm-hmm. So the sense is that the talks we are doing in the past and the days, a few days to come, will help to change that mindset where you think that, in fact, if I bring a personal experience on radio, some persons, you know, my dad was raised in a rich polygamous home. The challenges he had in life was because his mother was not there. But his father was there. Other women were there. So what we are trying to say is that it goes across the society. A lot of people have not become open-minded to be able to help another person, even their brother's child. You know, so it's not just about the women. I read a book by Forrest. He says, the greatest rivalry is found in the community. Who are the people in the community? They are almost homogeneous people who came from the same source, but they have, in fact, Nigeria said this pull him down syndrome.
The crab
is so much in the community. So we are trying to say that it is not particularly the women. Now men use that against the women to tell you, men, no, you are women, they will pull you down, just to create a divide among the women. But we are trying to say that women should understand that they are supposed to be encouraging and strengthening each other when this front is presented. Women are actually not the greatest enemy women have, but challenges, plethora of challenges within the society had made it look so. That's my view.
All right. Somebody reacting with the calls that we've had for the affirmative action and giving women a voice or a chance to be well represented from political party level to state, federal, local government levels. Here in Rivers State, we have all the deputy local government chairmen except for one, who are women. We have...
Because the former chairperson died.
Yes, and then she became... Well, it happened.
But it happened.
We have one woman as chairman. Okay. We have the deputy governor. In fact, now ahead of 2023, you would see that most of the political parties, not just in Rivers State, have women as their deputies. It many would say it begins to look like a handout syndrome.
It is.
As against, I earned it.
Yeah.
So if somebody's handing something over to you, means tomorrow they can take it back if they feel that you're not playing balls.
Yeah.
So that puts us in the position where we need to ask, how are women strategizing? How are women putting themselves together? For instance, you have men who come together and bring resources and have candidates and their companies run by men who are telling you, okay, we're supporting that and that. Do we see the same kind of activities happen amongst female folks? The other time, I think it was in 2015 or 2019 election, where one woman came out. What was the support? What was the support like? Who was there? This is a question. Somebody on WhatsApp is asking, who gave Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala the opportunity?
Yeah, that's what I said. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala actually earned it. You understand? You know, I had made that presentation earlier. She actually earned it. You know, the course she took and all that employment. That time, there was also opportunity for employment. But today, all those are closed. Rarely would you get employment if you don't have somebody who knows somebody. And is some. So what we are trying to say, that space is closing faster than we ever imagined. Do you understand? So Ngozi ended while she was working. The way she carried herself made the group find confidence in her and gave her that position by appointment. But if Ngozi was actually working within Nigerian setup, I tell you, my brother, she won't be there, because they will say, this woman, is she the one going to take care of her? So the problem is very obvious, we all understand. But the truth is that we are not ready to, rearrange ourselves for us to deliberately make effort to pull out of that quagmire that we're inside. That is the truth. So you were asking whether women are trying to, how they are trying to organize themselves.
Yes.
By the time some women who would have occupied certain positions would have also understood the benefits of occupying those spaces, I'm sure they'll be able to galvanize other women as a strong force to be able to bring women further. But I'm trying to say, like you said, if everybody in River State is a deputy governor, or deputy chairperson, deputy chairperson, they don't actually have that constitutional right to make certain decisions. It is only when opportunity avails itself, like he availed for that other local government where the woman now is the local government chairman. And also in this country, you know the position of local government chairman. You also know. You know they are taught there. They are also given handouts. The handout you are talking, they also handed things over to them to do. And you must be loyal to your principal.
But the same issues that we have women complain about today, aren't those the same issues that men suffer in the polity as well? The fact that you have to have men also loyal, be loyal. You have to be ready to submit to one godfather or the other.
Yeah.
You have to do some of these things before you're recognized and given an opportunity. And most of the times you get to work with the instructions of whoever had helped you get to that position. These are also similar problems that men face, but men are in the system facing those problems.
Yeah.
So what should make it different? Why should then... what should be the reason why men should look at it and say, well, men can go through this, let's not allow women go through it?
Yeah, by the nature, let me bring in biology now of the men and women. It is obvious that there are certain ways men may relate with women, and the society will start talking about it. And such talk will also bring a kind of withdrawal or separation, because if you see, even in the normal classroom environment where you find a young boy very close to a girl, their study mates, people will be saying it. But when two men are relating at that same level, nobody raises an eyebrow. Do you understand? So what we're trying to say is that the nature, the environment where we have found ourselves is a very serious inhibition. But I'm telling you that it's also breaking down. It's not going to be a fast and immediate thing, but it's actually going to happen one day. Because when men begin to realize that women are better allies than men, I hope you know that men are more critical of themselves than they are even, because they are afraid that this other man may take over. And they can go to any length to do anything. So by the time they also have that attitude that, oh, it's better to align with a woman, that she may be more harmless than the males, you see that this is withdrawal. We are trying to say that the inhibition is there. It's already amongst us and with us. But as days go by and understanding begin to expand, and people begin to actually put science, in fact, reason, logic, begin to use logic in actions and activities, some of these things will actually break down.
All right, let's open the phone lines now and get to hear from you. 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0002. You can also call 0817-923-0007. 0817-923-0007. The numbers to call are 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0002. Remember to keep your conversation straight to the point. Let's hear from Daniel. Daniel is on the line. Hello, Daniel. Good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, the guest. Yes, I think that women will not rise above the way God has made them. Because for me, I think my God will even be against me, because at times I place women and men equal. Why I'm saying this is that the way we see things, if it were possible, I think the women ought to have all that they want. But I think that maybe God is just want women to remain where they are, mostly here in Africa. Because if, like the guest has said, if it were Nigerian, Okonjo Iweala would not have been where she is. But What am I trying to say? They are envious of themselves. Come to our local communities where they place tradition or whatever. When a woman's husband dies, it is the fellow women that we drag her, grab her head, try to place her black eagle. They will want to show who they are. I'm talking about women, not men here. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that
But Daniel, the question is, for that tradition, who made that tradition or who made that law?
Good.
Because there's a king in that community that sees that thing happen.
Exactly.
There are men who are seeing that happen. Have men decided to say, let's change this law because we think it's against the rights of this woman?
What, my brother Andrew, instead of the women rising up to stand against those laws, they themselves want to implement those laws with ego, trying to show how powerful they are. Why not challenge their power? That's what I'm saying.
All right, Daniel.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You want to say something?
Yeah, I want to say something. You see, at the point of creation, there was no inequality. It is only at the point of interaction that this gap emerged. So for Daniel to say what he has said, is only coming from the inhibitions, the tradition that we already know. Now, if he's talking about women, enforcing women to get involved in the widowhood rights, like you ask, which I have also presented, who made the law? And do you also know that when the man, his wife dies, the men surround him, then give him other women or a woman immediately if he's a man. That's one singular man and a woman. Now, if a man dies, the men are asking the women, I hope you people are monitoring her. Because if you say things that you have not seen being done, you won't be able to say it. Let him go back to the communities and find out that the actions women carry out, that men are solidly behind them, because they are the ones to say, oh, you bring goats, oh, you bring fish, oh, and the fish is for this, and this is for this. So they are the ones that enforce these things, but the women, a kind of errand girls or women for them, they just to satisfy their husband. So inability, inequality in society is created by the attitude.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. My name is Daniel. I'm calling from Transomali.
Go on.
For me, I don't believe in the preaching. It looks like we are against in society. I'm not part of it. I'm a father. I have a daughter, my son. They are fantastic kids and I love them. But the truth is, sometimes we don't take away this blame from a woman, because I want to ask a very question. A man is in the house, probably just by the narrative. You have a housemaid, and the woman is completely maltreating her. What will you do as a man? Mm-hmm. You talk to the woman, she doesn't listen. Do you have to hit your wife? You're not going to do that. It's forbidden. Do you speak? Do you go and call police for her? What exactly are you going to do? Madam, I'm married. The truth is this. It takes a lot to be a man in the marriage. If you don't want to be a man, you cannot be in a marriage. And that's for a man to you. Because it's a lot and a lot. I keep on saying it. If you have a wife or you have a woman around you who fail to listen to you, the only thing you're going to do is simple. And that's for a man. And that is so many marriages. I'm not saying that is how my own is. Maybe I'm a lucky man. But I have seen it. One of my friends lost his life. Don't you know why? Pressure. Pressure, completely pressure. He complained in the morning, in the afternoon, he's gone. How did this high? I didn't open up to tell anybody. But he speak to me directly before it happened. Because of what? The white pressure from the heart. He doesn't listen, and people lost their life. It's not easy to be a man. Because if you do this way, they say, oh, the blame is in you. If you do this way, why is it a man? If you do this way, why you not this? It's not easy to be a man. It takes an extra to be that man. And you must be that man if you want to be. And that is a personal choice.
All right, Daniel.
As far as I'm concerned, women contribute a lot to their stress. Because if you see to speak, if they don't listen, you don't kill your wife. You don't go to police. What will you do? Thank you.
All right, thank you, Daniel. Brings us to many people who've also had the conversation. They're saying, we'll have, how much attention is given to the the boy child, because the man, if possibly well orientated, we might not be doing as much work as we're doing now to give the girl child a voice.
Yeah. Well, you know, I started by making reference to the family.
Mm.
It is from the home that you train your boy to be a husband, a father. It is also at home you train your daughter to be a girl, a wife, and a mother. Okay? Now, from what, like the representation he made, there's no way a man will talk to his wife and she will not listen. Because the only thing he's trying, I got there, is that you want to be a man. Do you have opportunity or time you sit down to discuss issues?
But people would say, would argue that it's possible that you have women that would not listen, no matter how nicely or calmly you try to.
I don't want to believe that, because any woman is a human being. If you make her understand, what we're doing here is opening people's understanding.
Mm.
If you make a woman understand the negative aspect of her action, I think she would. And she too will have the tendency to explain to you certain things. That opportunity is lacking in most homes, like he said. You know, you go extra mile to be a man. That's not it. It's not a power thing. It is, we say, egalitarian family. Egalitarian family is where the man and the woman, they will sit to discuss issues and go about doing that. And that is the only way what we're talking about will. So the boy chair you're talking about, if the boy understands at home that I have to share certain things with my sisters, mm-hmm. without seeing myself as a boss, I think some of these things will drop. They will definitely drop.
Okay. We're live on Facebook. Don't forget, at Nigeria Info PH. If you have contributions to make and you have questions to put out, well, you can ask us that on Facebook and on Twitter as well. On WhatsApp, the number is 0809-030-6416. A few messages here. Good morning. Victor from Rumokuru says, I think the government and several organizations haven't done enough to sensitize the public about the importance of the girl child. Most of us still believe in our culture and traditions, and it has affected the rights of the girl child. Our culture and traditions have done us bad than good on the side of the girl. However, I think the government and several organizations should take sensitization important. Get to the grassroots so that our people will liberate themselves from our culture and traditions and embrace new development. Mm. Emmanuel from Rimolomeni, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm also great guest in your studio. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, Emmanuel.
Yes. First, I want to thank God for keeping all the girl child and the women alive to speak the International Day of Celebrating the Girl Child. And also thank God for so many positive parents who have been up and doing in taking special responsibility to their children, not especially the girl child. The knowing fully well that they represent the mother of the nation and the world. And also, whether politics or no politics, is the primary responsibility of every family to make sure that the girl child is being paid attention to, because of the society or the environment we found ourselves. It's very unfortunate. I'm fortunate as a father to have women or husband. And you find out that there are a lot of things going on within and around us. It takes a disciplined parent to look at the girl child, whether primary, secondary, university, and sit her down and talk some sense into her. That will really help her. Because the nature of things today is really affecting our society, our girls, our men. We know in Qatar and other some of these countries, you find out that indecent dressing is still seated. But here, anything goes. When you talk, even a parent will ask, is it your concern? tomorrow, that same parents will be the one complaining to pastors and doctors, even lawyers, that this person has been raped or killed. So it's a very big responsibility.
All right, Emmanuel, apologies, but we don't have a lot of time, but I think you made your point already. The last thing you touched on is one that most people have disagreed on, the fact that you would say a girl was sexually abused because of how she was dressed. Mm-hmm. So we now even have people, pedophiles, and we have young children, young girls, underage girls that are raped. And then people would say it's because of how a young girl of 12 is dressed. And then you're a grown-up man of 30 plus with full reasoning faculty. Why would that even be an excuse is a major concern and worry for a lot of people. I was putting out the statistics from UNICEF as to the percentage of girls and boys that are being abused these days sexually, and it's becoming a problem. From what he has said and what we have on ground, we have very few minutes to go. It's a question I'd want to put out. There's a school of thought that believes that if perhaps we treat the male and the female as human beings, as against trying to make it look like it's a divide and there's a battle. The girls shoot, the boys shoot, and then that it could become catastrophic at one point. What's your view on that? Do you think it's very effective to have a day for the girl child, a day for the boy child, as against treating both sexes as a human being first before you became a male or a female?
Well, why this girl child day is something we're talking about is because within this society, the girls are exposed to a lot of challenges. So this is just raising awareness. But like I said, home is where everything starts. Like he was trying to say, you discover that men who are closer to their families, especially their girls, they have, if are wonderful daughters, they become wonderful wives, wonderful women when they grow up. But when the dad is an absent dad, he comes in and reels others and then gets out. The girl sees it so. And in the process, you're actually objectifying your girl child to tell her, you're only good for sex. So some of the dressing he had just talked about is all the things we put together in the basket at home. If a man wakes up in the morning and then gets where his children are, say, oh boy, how are you? Oh girl, how are you? You know, you have sent love to those children. Now, when you send love to those children, they will reflect the love to the outer society. But when you go there and say, oh, Mary, you're still sleeping. And they should be sleeping. Do you understand? Mm. The divide has already been created, and the challenges we are looking for. So the problem we are having here, why we are talking about International Day of the Girl Child, United Nations set up this day because it looked into society globally and found that we men are in a precarious situation all over.
All right.
Though it's better out there now, in what you call the Western society, it is still there.
All right, thank you very much. But Prof, would have to end here because we are already out of time. Thank you very much for your contributions. Hello, Port Harcourt comes up shortly. Do well to ensure that the girl that lives next to you gets what is due her and gets the same opportunity as the man that lives next to you. My name is Ifeanyi Andrew. Have a lovely, lovely day.